Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Basra Daf Tzadi. Let's back up to Peites Amud Beis at the second line off the bottom. Aval Oisehu Sa'a. The Chachamim instituted a list of midos, measuring cups, you know, measurements, which one is meant to have, meaning the point is to keep them separate, distinct, and easily and clearly identifiable. So you can't make them too close to each other in terms of size and capacity, lest they get confused and mix them up. Right? So Chacham instituted a set system of measures. Avalo Isahu Sa'a consists of six kav. Tarkav stands for trei v'kav, two and a kav, meaning three kav. You have a three kav container. V'chatzi tarkav, a half a kav, half a tarkav, which is 1.5 kav capacity. Then you have the standard kav, right? V'kav, v'chatzi kav, and a half a kav, a roiv, a quarter of a kav, a tuman, that's an eighth of a kav, v'chatzi tuman, half of that, v'uchla. The smallest measurement is an uchla. How much is that? A 20th of a kav. V'kamahu hi uchla, echad mechamisha v'raviyah, a fifth of a quarter, which is really a 20th. Okay? So these were the sizes in terms of dry measurements. What about ubimidas halach? What about Kalim used to measure liquids? Hu oisa hin. So you start off with a hin, that's the largest. A hin consists of 12 lug. V'chatzi hin, half the hin, which is 6 lug. V'shlishis hin, a third of a hin. V'rviyis hin, a quarter of a hin. So the shlishis is a measure which holds 4 lug. And the quarter of the hin holds 3 lug. And then you have the v'lug, v'chatzi lug, revius, that's the revius that you use for, you know, for kiddush, for avdol, revius halug. Revius is shminis, and an eighth of a lug. V'echad, and the smallest one is an eighth of an eighth, which is a 64th. V'echad mishmoina b'shminis. V'zo kurtav, and that's the famous kurtav that we mentioned in many places, the smallest liquid measurement. Ask Stigmar, let's go back to the dry measurements. Why do we skip a 2-kav container? Why can't we have that as well? Li'avid nami kabayim, make a 2-kav measuring cup. The answer is, it's too close to the 3-kav measurement. It's only a third apart, which is too close. And they can get mixed up. Asi lichlufi, it might get mixed up b'tarkav, with the tarkav, which is the 3-kav measurement. So since it's only a third apart, they're too close in size for comfort. Asks the Gemara Alma Toh in Shitilsa. You mean to say that people would mistaken and confuse things when they're just a third apart? Yuck, if that's the case, how can you make a kav? It's too close to the kav and a half. It's only a third apart, right? Kav nami lo liabit. The asilach lufi b'chatzi tarkav. The kav is too close in size to the chatzi tarkav, which is 1.5. Oh, apparently a third is enough to keep them distinct. Ella, rather, the true reason why kabayim, haynu taim deloy la'avid, why don't we do a double kav, a two pounder, a 2-kav container? Because it's only a quarter difference between himself and the container which contains 1.5. The os lechlufi b'chatzit tarkav is going to be mixed up with the half a tarkav, which is 1.5 kav. So between 1.5 and 2 is just a quarter, 25% difference, too close. If so, almost, you mean to say, toi in shibiriba. See, people will mistake and will confuse things which are only a quarter apart. Yuck, if that's the case. What are the smallest sizes on that list? You have the chatzi tuman, right? And you have v'uchla, which are very close to each other. Rashi says it's just 20% apart. So you shouldn't do that. Interestingly, smaller measurements people are more familiar with and more bucky. Maybe they're used more often or they're easily discernible, so you're not going to get them mixed up. Asks the Gemara, okay, but let's move on to the liquid measuring cups. What about Shlishi Sahin and Revi Sahin? The difference between the two is merely one lug. Shlishis is 4 lug. Revius is 3 lug. Too close to each other. It's only 25% discrepancy. Lug la'avid. Answers the more interesting teretz. Kibbu la'avid b'migdash. Since we find that these cups were around in the Beis HaMikdash, they were used for their respective karbanis. Some karbanis needed this much, or you know, wine. Some needed those, you know, that much wine. So these two cups functioned in the Beis HaMikdash. They served their specific purpose. Loi gazru rabban rabban did not forbid them, even outside the Mikdash, to keep it, you know, consistent. Asks the Gemara, but in the Mikdash itself, we should be concerned as well for mix-ups. But the Mikdash Namid Ligs answers the Gemara, the famous Teretz Kehanim's reason it. Come on, meticulous, conscientious, and pay close attention to details. Perhaps that's why they're prone to anger, as the Gemara Bava Basra later on says. So in any case, in the Beis HaMikdash, we're not concerned about mix-ups, so this was allowed. And once it was allowed in the Mikdash, that was a license and a green light for all to follow. Continues the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Shmuel gives us an interesting code of law regarding setting prices, establishing measurement sizes. Eim yisifan al amidos yisim mishtos. Suppose, you know, in this town they decide, you know, the pound or whatever, the kilo, we're going to increase its size. We're going to maintain the same name. It's going to be called a pound, but it's going to be 20 ounces instead of, right? So you can add, you can increase, but not more than a sixth of its previous size. Why? We'll see in a minute. And the same with adding to the value of coins. If you want to add, increase the value of your coins, keep it the same coin, but regard it as a bit higher in value, again, up to a sixth. And the third point is, v'amistaker, one who deals with, you know, basic staple foods, he's looking to make a profit up to a point. Don't price gouge. Don't overdo it. Don't take advantage. You shouldn't be earning more than a sixth for your profit. Ask the Gemara, what's the... let's elaborate on these points and explain the reasons. You shouldn't be adding to the size of measurements if it's more than a sixth. My time, why? Is it the point of price gouging? I'm concerned about price gouging. That Rashbam explains, you know, an out-of-town distributor, an importer, will come in with his goods. And when he gets wind of the fact that locally they've just increased their pounds, so he's going to hike his price as well. He's no longer going to sell, you know, a pound for $10 because he knows the pound today is a bigger capacity than it was. And once he starts raising prices, you know how it goes. It whets his appetite, and there you go. It just keeps on rising and rising. It's sort of a tide that's hard to stop. So we don't want to do that. So we don't want to substantially increase the measurement sizes, lest it generate a run on the prices. Ask the Gemara, well, if that's the case, then even a minor increase can do the same and gives the importer an excuse to raise his prices unreasonably. Even just a sixth will have the same effect. Okay, so we move away from that explanation. Ella, rather, the reason is like this. The concern is that the distributor, the importer, will be shortchanged. He's going to lose out because he might not be aware of the fact that we've just changed our sizes. He'll come into town and keep on selling at the old price, a pound for $10. But the current pound is much bigger than the old pound. He's going to lose out. We have a bit of mecca concern that perhaps he's going to be shortchanged because of his ignorance. And if, in fact, it's true that the quantity that he's giving us is really more than he's bargaining for, more than a sixth than what we deserve based on the price that he's charging, it's considered bitul mekach. Because if you overcharge or undercharge more than a sixth, you can just cancel the whole deal. So we're going to have deals being canceled right, left, and center. So to avoid that, we keep it reasonable. We keep the increase up to a sixth. So even at the worst case scenario, the importer will not have, you know, been apprised of the situation. He'll sell his goods at the good old price with a new quantity. But if it's up to a sixth, you won't have bitul mekach. It won't justify canceling the deal. Asks the Gemara, one second, but here it's not a question of, the wrong appraisal, the wrong value, the wrong amount. I mean, he's trying to sell X amount of ounces based on the previous size, and he was manipulated into selling more. for the same price, that's the wrong amount, that's the wrong measure. That's not subject to the sixth threshold. Even just a minor discrepancy entitles them to cancel a deal. I meant to sell you A, and you took B, right? Well, Rava tells us, call over any material, any merchandise, any goods, Shebemida, Shebemishko, Shebeminin, which is measured, weighed, counted. Even a minor discrepancy allows for cancellation. Afilu pachis, even less than a sixth discrepancy chayzer allows them to go back out on the deal. So that can't be the reason for this halach, for this difference between a sixth and more than a sixth. Ella, rather, the third pshat that we're going to propose is like this. The loy lehavet pseidel tagra. We're concerned that the importer was coming from out of town and unaware of the local change in measurements, is going to end up losing out too much. So we keep it at a six. We keep it reasonable. Because too much, then he's going to lose out. He's going to lose everything that he's going to lose out. You see, the Rosh Ram explains, based on the first point of Shmuel, on the third point, that you meant to only earn a sixth in terms of profit. So the point is that if we initiate a system of measurements, which inadvertently might cause the importer some sort of loss, so up to a sixth, what happens? He's basically losing his profit margin. He intended on earning a sixth, right? As is proper. And he lost that sixth because he ended up giving more than he should be. So up to a sixth, he's coming out even. So that's not such a major concern. But more than a sixth, if we allow it to be expanded more than a sixth, and it's going to cause him to increase the volume of his containers and all that, and unknowingly, unbeknown to him, he's going to be giving more than he should be. If it's more than a sixth, he's basically not only wiping out his profit margin, he's even losing on that. That's how we get to the sixth limit. We cap it at a sixth. Ask the Gemara. Pseido de lo lehavile. So that's why we cap it at a sixth. Why? Because at that point, he's just wiping out his margin. He's not his profit margin. He's not really losing. Okay, so you're concerned that he shouldn't have any losses. What about a profit? I mean, he's got to make money. He's got to pay his bills. Rav chalei boy, he doesn't have to make money. Zavan, imagine a person buys. He buys from the farmer. Vizavan, and he sells at cost price. Tagru ikri? That's a merchant? That's a money-making enterprise? Of course not. That's the biggest loss that he's putting in his life and his effort and his time. So this pshat is not really going to explain Shmuel's halach. Elam Rav Chizda, Shmuel kro ashkach v'dorash. Says Rav Chizda, guess what? Shmuel has a pasuk. He found a pasuk v'dorash, and based on that, he teaches us that any increase is capped at a sixth. Pasuk in Yecheskel describes the composition of a money. So we know that there is something called a sela. We find it throughout the Mishnahs and the Gemara, which is basically the Chazal or Aramaic term for the shekel that we find in the Torah. So shekel and sela are pretty much the same thing. They're made up of four coins, four dinar. Now a money is 100 sela, 100 shekel. Now, the pasuk begins, Vashekel Eshrim Gera. We break down the shekel into 20 Gera, as we find in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Eshrim Gera Shekel. So this shekel here is a sela, shekel sela, right, synonymous, which is comprised of four dinar, 100 of which make up a money. But the pasuk here describes the money as a bit different, containing more than just 100. Eshrim Shkolim, the money is comprised of 20 shekel, plus chamisha ve'eshrim shekelim, 25 shekel, and asora ve'chamisha shekel, and 15 more, for a total of 60, right? Ha'mana yelachem, this constitutes a mana of kodesh. See, there's a mana of chol, an ordinary mana, and there is a mana of kodesh. We'll see in a minute, it's really double the mana of chol. The Rosh Hashanah explains that, some mekaymus in some places a mana is 15 sloim, some it's 20, some 25. So the pasuk pretty much referred to all the different possibilities and totaled them all up, added them all up, and that constitutes a mana. Mana shel kodesh. Ask the Gemara, what do you mean? Mana masan varboin havu. So we're saying that a mana is made up of 60 shekel. Each one has 4 dinar. 60 times 4 is 240. We all know that a mana is made of 100 coins, 100 dinar, not 240. Elishma minot las. Apparently, we're going to learn 3 things from this pasuk. Number one, shma minot mana shel kodesh kafal haya. The mana of kodesh is double of the mana shel chayil. So typically, a mana is 100, mana shel kodesh is 200. Okay, but still, how do we get to 240? Because you're allowed to add, you're allowed to increase the value up to a sixth. So based on this pasuk, we learned that we can add to the size of measurements and the value of coins up until a sixth. That's how you get from 2 to 240. But as the Rashbam points out, although we don't see it in the pasuk, but the svara logic tells us, don't go past the sixth. We cap it at a sixth because we don't want people to make, you know, grave mistakes in commerce. You know, as we explained, the importer is going to lose out too much. It's unfair. So we keep it at a sixth. At worst case, he had, you know, some sort of minor loss and no more than that. Ushmamina, and thirdly, we learn from this pasuk that when we add a sixth, there are two ways to reckon a sixth, an internal sixth or an external sixth. An internal sixth would mean, you know, you divide 100 into 6, so it's like 16 and change. The external 6 would mean 20. Because when you add 20 to the 100, 20 in reality is a 6th of the total amount of 120. And that's what we see from this pasuk. Because you're going from 200 to 240, so 40 is being added. 40 is a 6th of the total 240. Continues the Gemara. Rav Papa bar Shmuel talk in Kaila bar Tlosa Kfizi. Rav Papa bar Shmuel established a new size, a kli that has three kfizi. Rashi says, a kpiza is a kav minus a quarter, so it's 3/4 of a kav. Now we all know that a kav consists of 4 lug. So 3 times a kpiza, which is 3 lug, right? A kpiza is 3 lug instead of 4, it's 3/4 of a kav, gets you to 9 lug. Amrulay, so they asked him, how are you allowed to do this? V'amar Shmuel tells us, Ein moisifin al amidos yoisim mishtos. Now, meant to increase the size of a measuring cup, of a measuring container, more than a sixth. You're going from 6 to 9 because the next one down is the chatzi tarkav. Chatzi tarkav is 1.5 kav. A kav, as we said, is 4 log, so it's 6 log. You're going from 6 to 9, that's a 50% increase. Amar Lucy told him, no, I'm not increasing any old measuring container. I'm not expanding on the old. I'm establishing new. I'm initiating a brand new size, new type of, a new label, a new type of size. So that's a brand new system. It's not an increase on the old. Shadre, Sir Papa sent to Lupapati. So like, they didn't accept. They didn't accept this new thing. Shadre Papunai sent it to this other place, and they were very happy with it. The Kiblu of a Karle, and they named the new size Ruz Papa, the Mida of Rav Papa. Rashbam has another gear. So Ruz Papa, the Eitzah, the advice. He's the inventor. He got the patent. Simon Itzore Peres in Oitrin Bemitzin Meshtakan Pamaim Bebeitzin Masrin Lemitzin. Turn around. Oitre Peres, those individuals who hoard the market, they corner the market, they buy out the market, hoard the stuff until the price shoots up, and then they go out and sell it, taking advantage of the shortage. That's inappropriate. When we speak about, you know, staple foods, Umaldi Beribis, those who lend with ribis, Umaktine Efa, those characters who shrink the measuring the size of their measuring cups, and they sell it, you know, using the small ones, shortchanging their customers, and finally mafkei sharam, those who price gouge. All these characters are no good. Alein akasav eimar, which the pasuk says leimar. So the pasuk in Amos puts them down and readies them for consequence. And the pasuk refers to all four characters leimar masa yavra chadash. So this is referring to the people who hoard the produce. They put away the wheat until the chodesh, until the month, the goyren, you know, the harvesting season passes. They wait until that's over, and then when there's when the season warms up, then they come out with their stuff and take advantage of the shortage. V'nashbira, sheva. V'ashabbos. Oh, these people are waiting for Shabbos. Shabbos in terms of years, which is Shemitah, when they are banking on that food shortage in Eretz Yisrael, so they have stuff put away. So sorry, Masa Yavar HaChodesh Mashbir Shavar, that's going on the price gougers, right? So they wait around a little bit, and then they wait for an opportunity to gouge the market. The next fellows are the fellows who hoard the market. They corner the market. They put away stuff, hoard it, store away large amounts of merchandise, of goods. Take advantage of the tight market. So they wait for Shemitah, v'niftach habar, and we'll open up our storages and sell at great profit. L'haktan eifa, these people shrink the size of the measurements. L'haktan shekel, these are the fellows who lend with interest. La'aves ma'az nemirma uksiv, what does the pasuk say about them? Nishba Hashem b'koyin yakam, Hashem promises, im ashkach l'netzach ha'masim, if I ever forget their bad deeds. Says the Gemara, Yitzorei peris k'goyman. Give me an example of an individual who would engage in cornering the market, storing away produce, to impact prices. Amar b'yechon k'n shapsai otza peris, that was his name, Shapsai, he was a otza peris. Interestingly, in the Gemara Yuma, we have a story involving two mothers who were having a hard time fasting on Yom Kippur. And they came to, I forget who, a tzaddik, and he told them to whisper into her ear in a way that perhaps will influence the child, the unborn child within them, that it's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur today. Hopefully it will calm them down. And one calmed down, was satisfied, and was able to successfully complete the fast day, and the other one, just couldn't make it and had to eat on Yom Kippur. And she gave birth to Shapsai, this fellow, Shapsai Otza Peri. And the other one gave birth, I think, Rabbi Yechon, another tzaddik. And the Gemara, applies a pasuk there that, a tzaddik is already a tzaddik from birth, has that potential from early on, and likewise in the reverse. Avodah Shmuel continues the Gemara describing the great deeds of tzaddikim who tried to keep prices low and, were concerned about the welfare and well-being of the Yiddish markets to keep, the supplies and staples affordable. So Avodah Shmuel, what would he do? Shmuel's father, Mazbanu Lepiri, he would sell his wheat, Betara Harifa, when the market was still fresh and prices were still low, right? So he sold during the preseason, so to speak, Betara Harifa at the preseason prices. So he sort of flooded the market with low-priced wheat, hoping that, it's going to sort of bang down the market. Shmuel Bray, however, his son Shmuel had a different system. He preferred waiting a bit. Mashi Leperi, he would wait until the market warmed up. Umaz Banu Betara Afla, and he would wait until, until the season picks up. Ketara Charfa, he would sell at pre-season prices, hoping to influence and impact the market. Shalchum mitam. So they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Who's better? Tava. The Abba, the father's practice, is better, superior, is preferred midabra than the son's practice. You know why my time? You know why Tara, the Rabach? Once the price dives and stays and goes down, it stays low. So basically, if you start on the right foot, you hope it stays there. So he sold it all out pre-season when the price was low, flooded the market, hoping that once it gets started, and the price starts off low, it will stay that way. Versus his son Shmuel, who waited a bit until the price rose. And at that point, he hoped, by flooding the market at low prices, that he would impact the price and lower it. But they felt it wasn't as effective as the first system. Amarav, although we speak about refraining from being oitzer peri and hoarding and storing, but a kav is a small measure, meaning your own personal produce you can put aside for future use. That's not significant enough to impact the market. Telling them, how can we find the same in a price? Say, oitzer peris dvarim, sheish ben chayin nefesh. Right, we're not meant to hoard and store significant amount volumes of staple foods, kigoyin yenois, shmonim, slosois, wine, oil,
flour.
Aval tavlin, common and pilpin, but all types of spices, cumin and pepper, that's not so crucial. Mutter, that you can do. But when is this applicable? When he goes out and buys out the market. Aval b'machans mishaloi, but if he's just storing his own produce that he, you know, mutter, that's okay. Mutter l'odom letzer peres b'eretz yisrael is another exception to the rule. In eretz yisrael, you can put aside gimul shanim for 3 years worth. Erev shviyas, ushviyas, matoy shviyas. You can hoard, you can store that type of volume that you need for 3 years because it's, you know, it's your basic need, your basic right. Ubishnei b'tzeres, but in a time of famine, you have to be extra sensitive, extra careful. Don't even do that. Afilu kav charuven l'yetzer, you shouldn't even put aside an extra kav of carob. You know why? Because ultimately it's going to affect the prices because people are hypersensitive, the markets are hyper, you know, volatile. Is you know it's going to be detrimental to the prices to the market. Amar le Rabbi Yisrael Bar Chanina, lepuga shamis. Rabbi Yisrael turned to his shamis, his helper. His name was Puga. Go ahead, Pug. Go out. Atzali perishal ishanim. Go and buy out what we need for the next 3 years. Erev shviyas, shviyas, matzoy shviyas. As we learned before, that's okay. Tana Rabbanon. Ein moitzin me perois. Meretz Yisrael, just as we're not meant to store, we're also not meant to export, you know, basic necessities out of Eretz Yisrael. Dvarim sheyesh ben chayin nefesh, kigoyin, for instance, yenis shmonim maslasis, and this will ensure adequate supply for the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda Seir Matur, he allows, when it comes to wine, b'yayin, you know why? Less the better. Meshamamim to satifle, because less wine, the less frivolity. Just that it's forbidden. The transport from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, Surya, which is the next country, has the same status, despite the fact that it was captured by David HaMelech. It doesn't have the same status there. Eretz Yisrael, we don't have the same level of concern for the residents of Surya. So therefore, we're not meant to transport Kach in Moitzim Eretz Yisrael to Surya. Rabbi Matir, Rabbi makes an exception if it's a nearby town across the border in Surya. Mi Hifrachia, from the border town in Eretz Yisrael, they frach it to the border town next door in Syria because they need each other and they rely on each other for commerce. In this case, we allow for exporting. Okay, so just a quick recap. We learned about the system of weights and measurements, measurements of the lach and the yavish, to keep them separate, distinct, and easily identifiable. We have Shmuel's halacha, increases should be kept at a sixth. Likewise, profits for staple goods, also capped at a sixth. We have the pasuk, which negates all these insensitive, you know, business people. We have the halacha of being oitzer, peris. Typically, you shouldn't be doing it. There are some exceptions, personal produce or anticipation of shviyas. Typically, is okay. And then we spoke about keeping the staple foods in Eretz Yisrael to ensure adequate supply for the residents of Eretz Yisrael. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rav.